Truly Blessed, Part 2, by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
This week we lost what I would call an American icon, a spiritual icon, in Billy Graham. He was faithful and true to the Lord. He gave the same simple, powerful message all of his life. God blessed him for that. He had tremendous influence because of that. I think our presidents acknowledge the humility of the man. Sometimes all of that notoriety can go to your head. In my mind, it never went to Billy Graham's head. He always remembered where he come from and who brought him to where he was.
Amen.
And he always honored the Lord Jesus Christ. Our loss is heaven's gain. Our loss is heaven's gain. And I know that he's rejoicing with the Lord and just having a wonderful time. His son Franklin
said that his dad always said, just remember that God loves you.
God loves you. Yes, he does. Hey, he also added that there's a day of judgment. You got to be ready for that. Mm-hmm. And the way to be ready is by knowing Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. Well, that's the only way to be ready. None of us can live good enough. None of us deserve what God intends to do for us in our lives. But we all need it, don't we? We all need God's saving grace through Christ. And He is so wonderful to us. Matthew chapter 5. Begins the sermon, what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus sat down as many times the Jewish ministers would do, and they would sit down and begin to proclaim the truths of that particular day. This particular day, Jesus had a huge gathering of people there. On that mountside, Jesus sat down and began to preach to them the truths concerning his kingdom. Jesus said this, my kingdom is not of this world. You know, when they came to get him, and the scribes and Pharisees, along with Judas, would later recognize Christ. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my disciples would fight. But he says this, but now, there's key words there, but now, my kingdom is not of this world. That little word now, only three letters. One day, his kingdom is going to be on earth. Christ is going to come back to this very earth. He's going to establish his millennial kingdom. It'll be a perfect situation for everything, and it will disprove what the world thinks. The world thinks if you put people in the proper position, in the proper place, they'll do what's right. False. We got a problem. And our problem is sin. And sin will rear its ugly head even after we have the perfect situation, the perfect ruler. Listen to that. Jesus Christ will be the perfect ruler over the world. Things will be done right and righteously in his kingdom. But after all that time of Christ's rule and reign, you'll have a group of individuals that will rise up against him and pretend that they're going to overthrow the King of Heaven. No way, no how. Not going to happen. The Lord will reign victorious. It's going to be a great slaughter. It'll be what's called the Battle of Armageddon, occurring in the Valley of Megiddo in northern Israel. Kingdoms out of the northern kingdoms and southern kingdoms will unite together and think that they can take over Israel. They're going to take Israel out once and for all. By the way, there's countries over there within a stone's throw that want to take them out now. Y'all been following the news? Mm-hmm. You ever look, by the way, at the size of Israel as a nation today? This is very instructive. They have pushed Israel down into a little narrow box, if you will. At one point, it is less than 20 miles wide, that nation. Less than 20 miles from the Mediterranean Sea over the Golan Heights. Okay, remember all that place over in there called the Golan Heights? Some of you probably remember back in 67 when they had the Six-Day War. Some of you are old enough to remember that. Well, they had that Six-Day War. It only lasted 6 days because God was with them. they whipped their bottoms so quick they didn't know what was happening. You know? And I'm saying it was God. God that overthrew those that were against Israel. God is going to do it again in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who will come and speak the word and destroy those armies that intend to wipe out Israel in the end of time. And then the Lord will establish his eternal kingdom. A new heaven and a new earth wherein will dwell righteousness. Those are things we look forward to. Those are things we anticipate will happen. In the meantime, it is good to know you're a part of Christ's kingdom, even though it's not of this earth or of this world yet, or in this world. We are in the world, but we're not of it. You know? And what that means is, yeah, you and I have to live in this world, but we're living as if and as we are part of Christ's kingdom. Amen. Okay? As his subjects, as his followers. And if we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be blessed. You ever wonder why Jesus started his sermon with the Beatitudes or the eight blessings? These are blessings of being a part of Christ's kingdom. Last week we looked at the first four blessings. Today we try to look at the last four. And I'm saying we're not going to give a complete description and overall view of it, but we'll give you a thumbnail sketch view of what Christ has in mind for the blessings of his people. And let me also add that the blessings of Christ's kingdom are completely different than what the world says are blessings. We have to have a different mindset when we come to Christ. The Apostle Paul put it like this: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what did Christ do? He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, give him a name above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Jesus Christ is going to be given the glory one day. Every person's going to have to give an account of their life. And I pray that you are ready for that day. And let me say, the only way to be ready is the way that Billy Graham said to get ready. Amen. And that's by placing your first personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't earn your way there. Nobody can help you in. You've got to have a personal relationship with him to get in. Amen. And you know what? It right or wrong doesn't matter too much about your past. What depends on is your future. And you've got a future if you know Jesus in your heart. That's right. You've got a wonderful, glorious future. If you trusted Christ already, praise the Lord. These are some of the things that we're looking at this morning, the blessedness of being a part of Christ's kingdom. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Over the book of Psalms, the psalmist David writes in Psalm 18 and verse number 25 these particular words. Psalm 18 and verse number 25. He says, with the merciful, thou, talking about God, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. You want to know how to get mercy? Be merciful. Be merciful. You know how not to get mercy? Matthew 18 shows us how. How many of you don't want mercy? No hands? I'm hoping you don't want you don't want to do without mercy. Amen? Because we don't want what we deserve. Mercy is compassionate treatment of an offender. In other words, if somebody's offended you, you don't turn around and do them worse than they did or as bad as they did. You treat them better than they did to you. And I'll tell you what, takes a change of heart and mind and life to do that. The world says, I'll do them worse than they did me, right? That's usually the way the world responds. Jesus said, I'll be merciful to you if you're merciful. In Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse number 21, I want you to look at how not to get mercy. How not to get mercy. And of course, I believe all of you want mercy, right? You don't want what you deserve, do you? They have people on TV all the time that are advertising for a certain lawyer. And they said, I only wanted what I deserved. I'll tell you what, if you got what you deserved, you wouldn't be here. Right? The Word of God says the wages of sin is death. Are you all lining up for that? Okay? Wages of sin is death. But, aren't you glad for some of those buts in the Bible? There's a difference. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what God intends to give to us. Matthew, what did I say? Matthew 18? Mm-hmm. I'll get there after a bit. 18 and verse number 21, I believe it is. Yeah. 21. Let's just look at this example. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? You know, it's a lot of times, isn't it? If my brother sins against me and he says, forgive me, is there a limitation? Peter says, is seven times enough? Well, remember, Peter was the one that had a hard time counting the number of fish when he had that fish deal. Whole boat full. You ever go on fishing and you got a whole boat full? Mm-hmm. That'd be something, wouldn't it? I like to go fishing with the Lord, though.
Amen.
You get a boat full, okay? Matthew 18, 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus said to him, I say not until thee till seven times, but in the 70 times seven. Now, I'm saying to you, I think probably the Lord is not saying 490 times. And they say, whoop, this is 491. I'm not going to forgive you anymore. 491, Hardy. How many times do you suppose we've sinned against the Lord?
Imagine.
More than 490, haven't we? We all want forgiven, don't we? Amen? Amen? When we come to the Lord? Okay. So he says, here's this story. He says, I say to thee, not till then, but 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he began to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, this is an unfathomable number in that particular day. I would submit to you, they would have to be many times a billionaire in their money of that time, you know, compared to us. You know, a penny A penny in that day was a day's wage. Okay? We're talking about 10,000 talents. 365 pennies was a whole year's wage. I mean, 10,000 talents is way beyond any more than any of us could ever live. Guess what? We've all confronted God to that magnitude. Think about it. There's no way, no how, I can pay what I owe. It's way more than what I owe. Okay? So I need mercy. I need mercy. Mercy coupled with God's grace.
Amen.
And that'll be sufficient for me and you both, right? So he says, verse 25, for as much as he have not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all they had, and payment to be made. Now, how do you suppose he's going to pay the whole amount if everything's sold and he's in jail? You ever heard of people making money in jail? Well, I suppose the mafia does. I don't reckon this guy was probably part of the mafia, though. So anyway, he says, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and looked upon him and forgave him the debt. No way he could pay it. The Lord said, I'll forgive you the whole thing. I think that's a complete picture of what the Lord did for us, don't you?
Amen.
Really, that's what the Lord is describing. You confess your sin, the scripture says, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think about that. A week later, 2 weeks later, 5 years later, he won't bring it back up and say, hey, remember when you did that? No, he cleanses it. He washes it away. It's gone. It's null and void anymore because it's under the blood of Christ, praise God. Wow. That's awesome, isn't it? What God has done for us. And that's what Jesus is describing there. But instead of having compassion himself, what does this guy do? He goes out and he grabs somebody by the throat. I'm just going to summarize. He grabs somebody by the throat and says, pay me up what you owe me. He owed him 100 days' wages. Not quite a third of a year. Could the guy pay him back? Yeah. After a certain amount of time, he could have paid him back. But he says, no, I'm not going to give you any time. I'm going to throw you in jail. Guess what the other servants told on the guy, didn't they? They said, look what that guy did. And the Lord said, okay, buddy, you're going to get what you got because of what you did. You didn't have any mercy? I won't show any mercy with you. And that's what God's word teaches us. If we want God's forgiveness, if we want his mercy in our life, we've got to be merciful to others. Long-suffering and kind. And that's one of the great attributes that God begins to put in our heart when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We realize how much we've been forgiven, and we need to be forgiving of others when they do us wrong. How many times has the Lord forgiven me? Numerous times. I know way more than 490, right? You probably have to say the same thing. But God is gracious and merciful. Praise the Lord for that. Lord, I pray, help me to be merciful. Help me to be merciful so I can receive your mercy. Jesus, further on here in chapter 6, would also say to us, if we don't forgive others, he won't forgive us. I want forgiven. I want God's grace and mercy instead of the exacting to the penny of what I owe. No way I can pay it. God's mercy is there for you. And it's one of the blessings of being part of the family of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Second, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. God gives you a pure heart. Guess what the only way is that you can get into heaven? Have a pure heart. The Lord's got to cleanse it, right? But He's got the perfect cleansing agent. You know, I've heard about all kinds of cleansing agents in my day. You know, they have this thing and that thing and, fix this up. The best cleansing agent is the blood of Christ.
Amen.
You'd say, blood? How does that cleanse? It's able to cleanse our hearts from the putridness of our sin. Praise God. It pays the penalty. It makes it right before God. Christ paid the ultimate price so that you and I could live. Praise the Lord for what He's done for us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, that's the only way you're going to get into heaven. He's got to make you into a new creature through Christ. Amen? Old things pass away. All things become new. New. You like new things? I like the smell of a new vehicle. You open it up. The only problem is they always got salesmen that come out and say, hey, how can I help you? I can save you money. My mind thinks strange. How are you going to save me money if I'm paying for this vehicle? How's that going to save me money? You know? God has wonderful things in store for us, and He wants to bless us. Give us a heart that seeks after the things of God, a pure heart, a true heart. A heart for the things of the Lord. Thirdly, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers. Guess what? Jesus was the greatest peacemaker there ever was.
Amen.
I want to show you a couple of verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Jesus, our great peacemaker. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, notice this, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. You know, I submit people can't have peace, real peace, until they first of all have peace with God.
Amen.
Our lives are in turmoil. Apart from Christ, we don't know what to do or when to do it. But with Christ, He gives us peace in our hearts, an assurance that we're His child, that He loves us and cares for us, and we're part now of His kingdom. You know what? That gives us peace in our lives because He's provided that for us before. We trusted the Lord. We were aliens and apart from the blessings of God. We didn't have access to those things that we have when we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. He's made peace for us through His shed blood. Before, it was God on one side and us on the other. But now, like the old tract says, we've got a cross to bridge the gap. Amen? And that's the cross of Jesus Christ, who shed His blood for us, that we might have access to this peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we all have this reconciliation to God through faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the verse 17. There's a section there I want you to look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Tells us about this reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew not sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, that's what the Lord has done for us. He's given us peace with God the Father. Christ is the middle guy. We go to him and he makes access possible to us to go to the Father through him. Scripture says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so Christ came. He's that mediator. He's our great high priest. And he stands in the gap for us. Not only is he our great high priest, he is our great high offering. Are you following me? He is that sin offering for us that was needed to atone for our sin and make it possible for us to be reconciled to God again. Thanks be to God. Christ makes it possible for us to be at peace with God. And you know what? When you have the peace with God, then you can have the peace of God. An assurance, a confidence in what Christ has done for you. Thanks be to God for those great blessings. Fourthly, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, Jesus, once again, is the great example. Always did what was right. Always did what was appropriate. And yet they sought to slay him. When you look at all the apostles and prophets and all that had shared the word of God with others, and they delighted in being counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. You know, sometimes I wonder how solid we are as believers today. Amen? You ever thought about that? What would happen if persecution really broke out? Would we stand in the face of adversity? Would we not capitulate to the enemy? Would we say, I'm going to stand for Jesus no matter what? There are believers around the world that are giving their lives right now that they won't go back on their faith. May God help us to be steadfast and sure and solid in our faith. Because God blesses those who are. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, the scripture says. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You want to get into heaven? You got to serve the Lord. We can't go back. The only way is forward. That's following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May God give you grace and strength every day to stand for him, to be a witness for him, both in word and deed. You see, that's what it's going to take. People are going to have to see Christ in you. They're going to have to see that Christ in you makes a difference. That your life's different now than what it used to be. Because it will be. If he's really alive in your life, may God give you grace and strength every day to stand for him. He'll help you if you call upon him and stand for him in a solid and significant way with your life. God will bless you and give you a witness for Jesus Christ. And guess what? Yours will be the kingdom of heaven. What a blessing to have that promise of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people here. Help us, Lord, to be diligent and always remember the great blessings associated with being a part of your kingdom. Work in our lives, use us, transform us, and make us into the people you want us to be. We ask and pray in Christ's name.